Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
What have we been talking about? Last week we talked about the blood of the Lamb, right? And Passover. So we're going to talk about that again today, but we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to get back into this, the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what He's about. Because today, we're actually in the season of Pentecost. We're going to get in the biblical calendar and talk about Pentecost. The week before last, we were talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what? He's not a person, not an it. There's entire theological systems that say He's an it, or say He's a force, or He's a power. But the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is a person. And so that's what we want to keep in mind, that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that person is in you. And so remember, what did we talk about? What constitutes a person? It means they have a what? A soul. And what's your soul made up of? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, and He's a person, okay, and He has a soul, then He has a mind, a will, and emotions, right? So remember John 14:8, He's talking about the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And He's guiding you and leading you into all truth. So if He's in there, He's trying to get you to the truth. And that ultimately is to have the mind of Christ. He wants you to have His mind, and He wants you to have His emotions. In other words, when things are difficult and troubled times are around and you get laid off or whatever, you get somebody, your best friend leaves you or someone walks out on you, you aren't going to lose it because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and He is in there to give you self-control. Your emotions aren't just going to fly off the handle and just start, you know, you're going to have self-control. Because see, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what He's in there doing. He's trying to help you control your emotions. And then what? Your will. Okay? Remember when Jesus was led into the garden? He was led into the Garden of Gethsemane. What? And He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When you do God's will, okay, remember the word led is the word ago. And it's where we get the word agonize and agony. So anytime, sometimes the Spirit of God is leading you, there's going to be agony, and it's going to be some agonizing to get to what God has for you. But you see, that is much better than what you're trying to get on your own. You see that? And that's going to have influence and effect on other people when you get to what God has for you. And that's what He's in there trying to do. He's trying to get your mind, your will, and your emotions lined up with Him. Remember, your mind is not your brain. Your mind is a spiritual part of you. Your brain is an organ that connects with your mind to help you think ideas, thoughts, and beliefs. I used to think my mind was my brain. Your brain is not your mind. Remember, your eyes are just physical organs that connect with the physical world, help you to see the physical world. And so your ear is an organ that helps you to connect and hear in your soul. You actually, all that is done with your soul. You hear, you see, and you think with your soul. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is in there doing. He's trying to help you get all those areas under His auspices, His authority. And when he does that, you are moving and you are in the plan and purpose of God. You are fulfilled. You are becoming what you were created to be on this planet. So today, we're going to talk about Pentecost. Okay, Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, or that could be better translated, individual tongues. Some of your translation uses the word individual. Individual tongues. as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So, what is Pentecost? You know, you hear the word Pentecostal, and you say, am I Pentecostal? Some of you might ask, well, are you Pentecostal? I am Pentecostal. What do you think about that? I am Pentecostal. But now wait, I want you to listen. There's a cultural definition of Pentecostal. There's a historical definition of Pentecostal. And there's a denominational definition of Pentecostal. There's some, and you know what? By no means am I making fun of any denomination or any other religion, okay? You're not going to hear me doing that. That's not a place I go. I don't believe in it. And we're talking about Pentecost today because that's the season we're in, okay? So, now, is Pentecostal a place where women go and where they don't cut their hair and where their hair is in buns? No. I call that bondage. Everybody say, that's bondage. That's right, that's bondage. Okay, is a place where women can't wear pants, is that Pentecostal? No, that's legalism. I remember one pastor was asked, said, Pastor, is it a sin for women to wear makeup? The pastor thought for a moment, he says, no. He goes, but it's a sin for some women not to wear makeup. Are you getting my point? Pentecost is a movement of the Spirit. Now, we're going to look at that, and we're going to understand this, because this is important, especially in the hour we're living in. If by saying I'm Pentecostal, do I believe in the work and person of the Holy Spirit? I do. If by saying I'm Pentecostal, do I believe in Acts 2? I sure do. And the fulfillment of Pentecost? I believe in it wholeheartedly. Do I believe in all the fruit and gifts of the Spirit? I believe in them all, every one of them. Do I believe you need the Holy Spirit in this hour that we live in? I believe you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. You need the Holy Spirit to live out the Christian life in this life. Now, the Holy Spirit comes when you get saved. That's baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you get saved. But now listen, there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus does that, okay? That's what Pentecost is about. And you're going to see this, and we're going to understand this. And that's where there's an empowerment. You see, I see people get saved and come to the altar and confess Christ, and they really continue on in a life that's very defeated, and there's no victory, and there's no real change. Folks, I'm here to tell you, when you get the Holy Spirit and you really receive what God has, there's going to be a change. Am I making sense? There is going to be change. When you really receive Christ and the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, change comes. Change is happening. The Bible says that we've been born again, not of what? A corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because the flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. For the grass withers, and the flower fades away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. You see, God implants his divine seed, word of God, in you. And you become pregnant with the Holy Ghost and with a vision and with the power of God to fulfill the life that God has called and created you for. I'm going to tell you what, when that takes place, that word seed means sperma. There's an intimacy, first time intimacy between you and God, and he plants his divine sperma in you. And change takes place. When you get pregnant with God, things are going to change. When you get pregnant with something, things change. You change the way you walk. You change the way you dress. You're going to change the way you eat. You're going to change, everything's going to start changing. You know why?
Because you're not only concerned about yourself, you're concerned about somebody else. You see, and that's what happens. That's what happens when you're born. When really something happens in your life and God has touched you and the Holy Spirit is doing work, you begin to have compassion for others. It's not just about you now. Come on, am I making sense? And that's really what happens. Change takes place. And folks, this is Pentecost. And I'm gonna help you see this. We're gonna really understand this. Because I'm gonna tell you something. Without understanding this, your life is defeated. And all you want, it's like this Christian life, just go to church and, you know, listen. No, folks, we don't have to stay in bondage. You don't have to stay in those patterns of iniquity and patterns that were passed on to you 3 and 4 generations. You can come out of that. And that's what the Holy Spirit, the working of in baptism in the Holy, that's the power to get you out of that mess. Am I making sense? And that's what we need to understand. There's 3 baptisms. We're going to talk about that today. All right. Because see, I want us to understand. You see, if I didn't understand this, I couldn't do this. Okay. What is Pentecost? Pentecost is one of 3 major feasts in the nation of Israel. Okay? The first is the Passover, the Feast of Passover. We celebrated that last week. That's what Easter is all about, Passover. The blood of the Lamb was over the doors, and people were saved. You see? That's the beginning. And then the Feast of Pentecost, okay? That is when Moses had the 10 Commandments on Mount Sinai, and that was the Feast of Pentecost. It was the beginning of the law. That's the original. And so we're going to talk about that today. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? That one has not been fulfilled yet, and we're going to talk about that, okay? Now, the first month, 3rd month, and 7th month, they came to Jerusalem to celebrate these feasts 3 times a year. Now, Pent is a mathematical term, and it means 5-sided. Some of you folks are good in math. It means 5-sided. Pentagon. That's a 5-sided, right? And then, cost in the Greek language means to the 10th power. 10th, T-H, 10th power, with a decimal. So here's the idea. It's 5 times 10 equals 50. 50th. That's what Pentecost means. 50th. Say 50th. It's the 50th. Okay? So here's what it is. Pentecost is the 50th day. And that was when it was fulfilled after Passover. Let's look in Acts chapter 2. It says in verse 3, "And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them." The word tongues is the word glossia. In the Greek word glossia, it's where we get the word glossary. You know, you look up, and the word glossary means language, okay? It says that the tongue of fire as of one sat upon each of them. Now, how'd that look? Okay, there was a tongue of fire upon each over their heads. You could see everyone's tongue of fire, but you couldn't see your own. Because, you know, it was over your head, and you're walking around, and, you know, it's going with you. Where, you know, you see what I mean? You couldn't see your own. You had to believe it. And that's the way it is. You have to believe it. Now, think about this. Passover, all right, was the celebrating that they were saved by the blood of the Lamb, right? Passover. Now, that's the 3rd feast. Pentecost was the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. I talked about that. The cloud came down and the fire, and God gave Moses the 10 commandments. Now go with me to hold your place in Acts chapter 2 and go with me to Leviticus chapter 23. And we're going to look at verse 15 and 16. "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the Sabbath, after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." The Bible is so clear. Look at that. From the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. So it's the day after
plus 7 Sabbaths. That makes 50. 7 Sabbaths is 49. The day, that's 50. So it's the 50th day is the day of Pentecost, okay? And that's after Passover. Now, what happened at Pentecost? All right, go with me to Acts 2, and let's look at verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?" Galileans were notorious for only being able to speak one language, and they were not educated. But now they're hearing them speak in different languages, and they're saying, How is this? Now, from verse 8 to verse 11 is all these nations, the multitude of the nations that were gathered here. There was 120, but then the multitude were there. Look at verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. In other words, they began to understand all these different nations, different ethnic groups, different ethnos, all these different languages, they began to understand it. Now, do you remember in Genesis chapter 11, where they were building the Tower of Babel, and the Bible says they were all speaking one language, and they were building it, and it says, "Well, let us build for ourselves, and let us make bricks for ourselves." See, they were focused on their own idea, and they were doing their own thing. And they were building this tablet to get to the heavens. The Bible says that God confused their language. But they are all speaking one language. And God came in and confused their language. You know why? Because they were doing their own thing. God is not going to allow anyone to do their own thing in this hour we're living in. You see this? God is not going to allow anyone to do their own thing and build their own thing. We're going to have to do it by the Spirit of God. Am I making sense? In the fulfillment of Pentecost, what we just read, it says, as they all gathered, they were confused. They couldn't understand anything. But you see, when the Holy Spirit came, verse 11, now they understand the works and the wonderful works of God. The Holy Spirit brought understanding to them. You see that? And they were all speaking different languages. Come on, does this make sense? This is a picture of heaven. Every ethnic group, speaking the same language. When the Holy Spirit got involved, that's what happens. Am I making sense? This is what God is doing in this, in the hour that we're living in. That's why we got to understand this work of the Spirit, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, okay? When we understand this, it changes our world majorly. Now think about this. In the fulfillment of Pentecost, Acts 2, they were in submission and humility. And that's why it was such a powerful work. In Genesis chapter 11, in the Tower of Babel, they were in rebellion and pride. That's why it didn't work. You see, God said he scattered the nations and they all went their own ways. Now, catch this. Now all the nations are coming back together at Pentecost, and now they're all coming back, and God does a work by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is so important to understand. Now look at this. The original Pentecost, Exodus 19, cloud descended, the loud noise and the fire. Now listen to me, 3,000 people died. God wrote his law on tablets of stone, and Moses came down and broke them, remember? Well, they were breaking them while he was up there chipping away. You know, they were breaking them at the bottom of the mountain, committing adultery, making gold gods and doing all kinds of stuff, trying to make God. They were doing all kinds of stuff. You know why? Because they didn't have any power to live it out. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to live out the Ten Commandments. You know what? The Ten Commandments aren't that difficult. Don't lie. Don't cheat on your wife. Don't commit adultery. Don't have any other gods. Don't steal. That's not that difficult. But I'm here to tell you, without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't do that.
You need the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to live a righteous life. And that doesn't mean because you do so good and you do everything right. That means because it empowers you to live the life God created you for. And that's why we need this working of the Holy Spirit. Did you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you got saved? You did. But now there's another baptism. And that's what we're talking about today. And we're going to show you this. Now watch this. So Pentecost was the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit when it descended, the loud noise, the cloud came, the fire. Now think about this, the tongues of fire. 3,000 people got saved there at Pentecost. See, they died at the original, but now they got saved. The idea is the Holy Spirit empowers you to live this life. And Pentecost is important to understand. Pentecost is the blessed reversal of the cursed judgment on Babel. That's significant. Now, you can experience Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait. Jesus' last words were not go. Jesus' last words were wait. Wait till you are empowered from on high. He doesn't want you out there ministering to people and doing these things without this power. Wait for the what? Promise. For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Notice he said, the promise, wait for the promise of the Father. There's a promise coming. Go with me, Acts 2:38. And let's look at verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. These people were saved. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, what can we do to get what you got? Verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Okay, repent is the beginning of salvation. Baptism is when you're with water and you're washed, your sins are washed away. That's the symbolism. Now, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For what? The promise. That's the promise of the filling of the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I'm here to tell you, when he called me, I was far off. I was out there. I know all of you were too far off. When he called you, you see this? But now he wants you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do his will and his work on this planet. Not just get saved. There's more to it. Now, Passover was the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, right? Now, catch this. At 9 a.m. at Passover, they would cut the throat of the lamb for the sacrifice and offering. Now, at 9 a.m., they nailed the spikes in Jesus' hands. At 3 p.m., they would put a loaf of unleavened bread in an oven, and they would also put a lamb, the lamb that they'd cut the throat of, in the oven. Then the next day, they would take out the loaf of unleavened bread, and the father of the house would lift the loaf of the unleavened bread and offer it to God. Jesus is the bread of life. And it's also representation of the resurrection. When he offered up that bread, he was offering up the first fruit offering. Jesus was the first fruit. He's called the first fruit of all men. He was the first fruit offering as a fulfillment of the harvest that is to come. That's us. We are the harvest of that resurrection. That's what the resurrection, out of the oven, out of the grave, out of the oven, where he was the first fruit, we're the harvest of that offering. Does this make sense? This is what Passover is all about. That's why Jesus said, I've come that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He wants to empower you to live the life that he's called and created you for. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. And he will destroy those negative habits, those negative patterns that were passed on to you 3 and 4 generations. But without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you're going to remain in them and just keep passing that on to your children and your grandchildren and on and on and on. Am I making sense? That's why he says this gets passed on to your children and your grandchildren. Now watch this. Okay? Passover was fulfilled in one day. Pentecost is fulfilled in one day. In one day, in the upper room, Pentecost was fulfilled. The fulfillment of Pentecost took place. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is the one that's yet to be fulfilled. And that's the one where he says, you'll see it throughout the scripture, and of that day, capital D, an hour, no one knows. That's speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles. When the Feast of Tabernacles is fulfilled, trumpets are going to sound, and the atonement will be complete, the Day of Atonement. And we will all be with the Lord forever at the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Some of us are going to take off from earth. Some of us are all going to be there. But are you listening to me? That's the Feast of Tabernacles. When it's fulfilled, we're all going to be with the Lord forever. Man, that's exciting. That's the one that hasn't been fulfilled yet. Are you getting this? Man, I'll tell you what. This is so big to understand. Now, go with me quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized in one body. That took place when you got saved. If it really genuinely happened, nothing can change that. But you can have that and be very miserable. There's a lot of miserable religious folks going to church. There's nothing miserable about walking in the Spirit and knowing the Lord. It's joy. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. When you really have something, it's going to be joy. That's the fruit of God's Spirit. So when you got saved, you had the baptism of the Spirit because it baptized you into the body, okay? Now, here's this second work of the Spirit. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist speaking. But he, speaking of Jesus, who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire. Passion. He's going to give you the passion and the desire. You see, when you're really baptized and you have a desire, nothing is going to stop you from getting to what God has for you. You see, people that they will go on the other side of the world. They will do whatever it takes because there is a passion in them to help others see what they're seeing and what they're experiencing. Am I making sense? You will do things just off the chart, some things that people think you're crazy. But you have a passion because that's what God is calling you to. You see that? And it's not about what other people are saying. It's about what God is saying to you. Am I making sense?
Save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.